Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Please welcome to the program. Well, we'll make him welcome. We at the Riverside on May 19th, Dennis Miller. Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
Fine, thank you. You know what that song sounds like to me? $800,000.
$800,000, you say?
I did 215 episodes of HBO, and I think I remember them hitting me for a usage fee of $4K a show.
Wow.
Well, so I think I was taking... I think I was taking care of Tears for Fears.
Oh, yeah, you were.
Wow, $400,000. That's what they charge. $4,000 per spin, huh?
$4,000 per spin. And I know that you're not a CPA, nor have you said you're one, but $4,000 per spin times 215 is not 400.
Bam, exactly. You know, I was just thinking, I thought, what movies have I seen Dennis Miller? And I thought it was the Demi Moore, Michael Douglas one, where she forced Michael Douglas to have sex with her, right?
Yeah, that was pretty prescient in retrospect with all the sexual harassment issues going on. So Barry Levinson did that. And I remember Michael gave me my, we became friends on that movie. And I said to him before we went on, I said, it's Gordon Gekko, for God's sake. And I said, hey, listen, I don't act. Is there anything I should know? Do you have any tricks or anything? I've been in a couple movies, but just, I was there, dropped in just to kind of do my rhythm. And he said, well, listen, we're friends in this. And he said, I would say a good note is that friends try to make each other laugh. So anything you have, embellish it a little and just try to make me laugh. And then I think the scene will flow. That was a great note. It was because all I did the whole movie was we would do takes, then we'd laugh, and then we'd go off to Donald Sutherland's trailer, and he'd have cocktails for us, and we'd watch hockey.
And that's how you make a movie.
All right.
I remember getting a glimpse at how real movie stars live and thinking, this is unbelievable. We'd walk down from that big set they built, get in the golf cart, boom, off to Sudsy Sutherland's trailer.
Wait a minute. What did you call
There'd
him?
There'd be a butler outside with the drinks. Go in and watch hockey. And they'd say, all right, we're going to shoot again 2 hours later, and the drink would have worn off.
How long did it take to do this movie, doing it like that?
I was hoping it ran through yesterday, but I think my part was maybe 3 weeks or something. But,
3 weeks?
Were they the greatest 3 weeks of your life?
It was fun, yeah. I mean, those guys, like I said, you get a glimpse of how big movie stars move through this world like pharaohs, quite frankly.
So...
It's an entire life of uplifted, smiling faces. I thought this must be.
So how do you get treated?
Intoxicating.
How do you get treated doing a sports podcast then?
No, that's not it. Not that they sort of avert your gaze, whereas it's uplifted, beatific faces when you're Michael Douglas. Sports podcast, sort of like, okay, good.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so you go from doing Disclosure with Michael Douglas and Demi Moore and Donald Sutherland, blah blah blah, and then you say, "Sure, I'll join you for Joe Dirt." How was it the same deal? Did you go over to
favorite?
Did you go and have cocktails in between scenes there?
Well, Spade's like my little brother. I love David Spade. He's one of the finest cats I know, one of the funniest. And he called me. When I used to work at Saturday Night Live with the young guys, I was sort of like Lou Gossett Jr., an officer and a gentleman, to tear them a new one. So I'd go back into this cubby, and the new batch was Rock, Sandler, Spade, Snyder, and Farley. And I would just go back and tear them up. And, obviously they've gone on to make billions of dollars for movies, but not them personally, but their movies have earned that. And Spade calls me and he said, hey, listen, I need you to, isn't it ironic that I played a DJ? I had never thought about being on the radio, but I ended up doing radio for 8 years. He said, will you come into the movie? And I said, what do you want me to do? And he said, just tear my character up. I said, what's your character, buddy? That's a kid with a mullet who gets hit with a meteor that turns out to be a turd. And I said, I got one day for this, but like one day. So I shot my whole part in around 8 hours. I just sat there in a
wow.
studio And I would, he'd say something, and I don't know if you watch it, he's off camera laughing as I just sort of disembowel him. But I was in and out in 8 hours.
Ah.
And, you know, I didn't see the film for around 3 or 4 years. My kid kept saying to me, my kids never react to anything I do, but they said, you should watch the film. And I watched it, and it was funny and sweet. You know, I think it was smart of him to make the guy a little sympathique.
Well, and then they did a Joe Dirt 2, but that wasn't the same format.
I have not seen Joe Dirt 2, but I saw me at the beginning and immediately lost 15 pounds as I looked like Burl Ives.
Silver and gold.
Well, you're on TV every...
By the way, I'm still disturbed that snowman left that anal rivulet in the snow in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. If you sing Silver and Gold, I hated that aspect. You reminded me of your dog coming in on the goose thing, happening in the living room. You know that.
You think he had a parasite?
Something.
There's something in that rug.
He said, "What's her name?"
What's your next special coming up? You're going to shoot something?
I have to find out who said some sort of parasite. That's so funny.
Oh, that's our news girl, Carrie. Don't go falling in love with her. She'll just ask her to marry you. She's accepted.
She gets engaged all the time.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's just that's so freaking clever. So good for you, Carrie.
Thank you, Dennis
Miller.
Wow.
Put that on your resume now.
That is so great.
By Dennis Miller.
Yeah. Wow. I'm enamored.
In an industry where we can't get enough approval. Thank you, Dennis.
Exactly, right. If I had a trailer, you'd be in it.
I like the insouciance of the delivery, too. Ooh. It wasn't like, oh, what a good girl am I. She just sort of dropped and moved on. Very Algonquin, very Dorothy Parker.
I need a raise now.
Very Dorothy Parker. We're going to call it the Dorothy Parker of Milwaukee Radio.
Okay.
Carrie, Dorothy Parker is great when she would walk into a doll scene. Do you remember? It was the name of a book written about her, but she used to walk into a doll scene and say, what fresh hell is this?
So Carrie feels,
that makes me laugh.
So Carrie feels every morning.
Going to Google Dorothy and learn more.
Hey, when you were doing Monday Night Football... And I liked you on Monday Night Football. I thought
you were the one.
I thought you were good on Monday Night Football.
Half the country hated me and half the country liked me. But when I started out, I think 2/3 of the country hated me and 1/3 liked me. So I always figured over a 2-year period to work myself back to the mean point. I was happy. You know, listen, after being in show business this long, I try to do my best. But if strangers don't like me in any particular job, I can tell you, I'm not trying to be cool. There's so much bad that can happen to you in life. That seems like showbiz pain to me. And showbiz pain at its highest level doesn't come within big hailing distance of real life pain. So when I was on Monday Night Football, I think everybody thought I was fraught and must be pensive. And I thought, I don't care. I'll do this till they whack me. And then when Madden left Fox, I remember calling Fouts that morning and saying, hey, Madden just left Fox, and I think we're gone somewhere this afternoon. Do the G. Gordon Liddy thing. Tell him what corner he's going to be on. You don't want innocents to get hit in the crossfire. Fouts said, but we're fine for next year. I said, I don't care. Madden hasn't left Fox to sit in the Dakota all afternoon with his old lady and drink Frappuccino. Sure enough, we got whacked. And I would have whacked me, too, to put John Madden on Monday Night Football. Put it this way. If I'm ever in L.A. on any given night and I want to do stand-up comedy and I go into the improv and John Madden's on stage, they better haul his ass off, too. That's the way the world works.
Wait a minute. You called Dan Fouts and told him we're getting whacked? Because I thought you and Dan didn't particularly care for each other.
I have no idea how you cleaned that. I love Fouts. He was all my...
Really?
Yeah, I just don't. Well, maybe I should flip it and say, what did you know about Fouts and I made you think that we didn't get on at all?
I'll tell you.
That would be the more interesting question, because we've never been anything but very friendly in public. Like I said, I love Fouts.
I remember one
particular... I don't know where you gleaned that, but it's a bad instinct. As good as the young lady's instinct.
I remember...
Yes. You're on your ear.
I remember you saying something one night on Monday Night Football, and Fouts completely talked down to you, talking about, well, really, how many plays have you taken and how many snaps have you taken, Dennis? Or something like that. I thought, whoa, that seems pretty rude.
I guess I'm less bruisable.
Okay. All right.
We're good friends, and I think sometimes when... Well, I don't know.
Really? How good of friends are you? How good of friends are you? You ever play catch with him?
It's awkward, no.
Did you ever get a football and say, hey, Dennis, let's go toss it around a little bit, you and me?
I like Faust. I don't quite know what to tell you. I'm sorry. It's a bad thread you're pulling on, but we're very good friends. I love Fauci, and we got on well. But I'll continue to answer questions about it if you want to press.
All right. A few weeks ago, there was a poll that came out. I don't even know if it was a poll. It was just the worst musical guest or the most difficult musical guest on Saturday Night Live. And it seemed like it was done with a fairly current cast because Justin Bieber was the guy who came out as most difficult to work with. Do you remember anybody particularly difficult at Saturday Night Live?
Dan Fouts.
And you're not so hot on that Santa either.
I always thought when sad people came to Saturday Night Live, it should be omerte. People talk too much. There's too much gossip. I mean, look, we're into a little bit of gossip now. I thought it was a hard job. I think most of the people came there. There were a few pains in the asses, but it's they're scared. They're vulnerable. It's not something they're used to. I don't see them. Think you see them after not sleeping. So when people ask me about Saturday Night Live, I always, I didn't go back for the 40th anniversary because I'm not a real sentimentalist about things. But I am omerte. I just don't. When people say, who is that? Who is weird? And who is there? Do you not get on with him and that? I just say, no, they were all nice, and I wish them well.
Good for you.
That's very nice.
Some people were into gossip a lot, and I don't know. I don't think there's many things you can do to keep your karma straight in the universe. I've tried trying to live a decent life, but I do think gossip, as I get older, it just seems like, I don't know. They all tried their best, scary jobs. Some people were a little more vulnerable than others.
You got a special coming up. You're going to shoot a special in May or June?
Yeah, I'm going to shoot one in June, and it's called Dennis Ex Machina, and it's some comments on the world and social media. My thoughts on Twitter, never have lives less lived been more chronicled.
And, you kind of touched on that in America 180. You did a little of that.
Only Lewis and Clark had kept notes as assiduous as the Kardashians do at brunch. I think we would have found the Pacific Ocean even earlier.
Where are you going to shoot it?
I think it's in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, really?
Who decides that?
The director has shot various specials there, and he said he likes the venue, and he likes the crowd, and I'm going to go there.
All right, let's say that you show up in Knoxville to shoot this thing, and you walk out and you go, how did you pick this place? Or doesn't it matter to you?
I'm fine with it. I'm sure he'll do a good job. I can't start gossiping with guys, Kim, before we even work.
Well, I suppose.
I'll get back to you when I get something that is inflammatory, and you and I can chat about it.
How many nights will you shoot this? Is this a one-off? It's just you do it, you're done?
I've got two shows in one night.
All right. Very good.
All right, guys. All right. Well, listen, they've got these stacked up like planes over O'Hare, and I appreciate your time, and you have a good one.
All right, Dennis.
Thanks,
thanks
like
for the time.
Pretty much.
All right. Dennis Miller. He'll be at the Riverside May 19th.